إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, in 1631 the foundation stone of a building was laid. That building took until 1648 to be completed. In 1636, 5 years after this foundation was laid, the foundation of another building was also laid. Both the buildings exist till today. The first one has two occupants. The second one has had literally thousands of occupants, and people continue to come and go. The first is the Taj Mahal and the second one is Harvard. A matter of choice. The choices that we choose to make in our life. Now one can sit and say, what if? In the memory of his wife, Shah Jahan built Taj Mahal in the memory of his wife. Alhamdulillah. But instead of building a tomb, if he had built a university in the memory of his wife, how would it have helped his wife herself? And how would it have helped humanity? For his wife, it would have been a means of sadaqatul jariyah, which the tomb is not. And for the world, it would have been one of the greatest universities in the world established by a Muslim ruler. Harvard was established in 1636 and it was supposed to be a madrasa. It's very interesting if you read history. That's why I say read history. Most people don't read history. All of these universities, Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, they all started off as what we would call in Arabic madrasa, which is a seminary for the education of clergy, of priests. That was how they started. Oxford to this day, Oxford was started in 1040 something. Oxford is over 1,000 years old. Till today, the first opening session of Harvard, of Oxford, is addressed by the Dean of Oxford, who speaks for about an hour and a half in Latin. That's the tradition, because it was established for the education of clergy, and the education of clergy in those days, it was Britain was Roman Catholic. It is before the start of the Anglican religion, which the Church of England was not established then. The King of England was not the head of the church. The Pope was the head of the church, and Oxford was established as a seminary. It's called Oxford because it was established in a town where there was a stream and oxen used to cross the stream. So Oxford, Ford is to go across the stream. So Oxford became the name of the town. So this, we're talking now of Harvard. Harvard was started, they say, they called it a church in the wilderness. It was started for the education of priests. And of course, as we know today, it was called Harvard College. It grew into a university, and today, from 1636 when it was first established till today, do the numbers, see the number of years, think about the number of graduates, people who have come out of Harvard, who have, you know, who spread across the world. I doubt if there is any branch of human learning or endeavor or enterprise which does not have the stamp of Harvard on it. Wallahara. The reason I am saying this is not because I want you to sit and, think about what could have happened, but so that we can think about what are the choices that we face in our lives. Sure, you do not have Shah Jahan's wealth. Just to give you an idea of Shah Jahan's wealth, Shah Jahan at that time in 1630s, 1640s, his personal wealth was more than the combined wealth of all the kings of Europe. Personal wealth. India's GDP at that time was about 30% of global GDP. And India's GDP meant the money in Shah Jahan's pockets, period. That is the kind of wealth we are talking about. So obviously, at least as far as I know, you don't have that kind of wealth. So we are not talking about decisions in terms of, you can say, well, how can I start a university? Don't start a university. Ask yourself, what choices are you making? What are the implications of your choices? Because the reality is that whether it is a choice to eat a samosa or it is a choice to build a university, every choice has consequences. We are free to choose, but no choice is free. We are free to choose, but no choice is free. For every choice, there is a consequence. There is a price tag behind every choice. And this is the difference between the two terms, options and choices. To illustrate this, supposing you have $5 in your pocket. Say for example, something which happens, we see this all the time. You stop at a gas station, and I mean this is very common in the West, some version of it may be here also. You stop at a gas station. Gas stations have convenience stores attached to them. That convenience store has all kinds of things in it. And your little child wants to go and buy something. So you give him $5. So he runs into the convenience store. Now when he goes into the convenience store, what are the options he has? His options are whatever is in the convenience store. Right? Technically speaking. What options do you have? Whatever is in the store. But what choices does he have? His choices depend on the amount of money in his pocket. Options are there, but choice depends on how much are you willing to invest. That's it. So either the money in his pocket, or he can go to you and get some more money, or he can persuade the shopkeeper to give him something for free or to give him a loan or God knows what. But the point is that his choices are limited to what he can invest. So what options do you and I have? Everything in the world. Quite literally. Everything in the world. Can you become a pilot for the A380 aircraft? Might not be a good idea because they are going out of production. But whatever else comes. Do you have that option? Yes. Is that a choice? We don't know. Why are you shaking your head? We don't know. Depends on what you want to invest. Are you willing to invest your time and energy and resources in learning to fly, to get a pilot's license, and then to upgrade and so on, until you can fly an intercontinental airliner? Can you do that? If you can do that, yes, that is a choice. If you can't do that, then it's a bunch of options that we are looking at. Now, this is what happens to a lot of us. We confuse these two things, between options and choices. We say, oh, I can do anything. Yeah, that's true. But you won't. Because you are not investing in those things. And that's because you are not clear in your mind about what are the consequences of that. What will I get if I do that? Everyone has the option. Every Muslim has an option of praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid every single morning as long as he wakes up, has life, and is in reasonable health. I mean, obviously, if he has life but he's paralyzed, he can't do anything. But the point is, I'm saying anyone in reasonable health, including if you are not feeling too well and including if your body is paining, all of that is okay. You can still go to the masjid. But who makes the choice? The one who gets up and goes. And the consequence of that choice is that when he prayed this salah, he got more than this entire earth and everything that it contains. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about the two rakat of sunnah before Salatul Fajr. Because the fard has to be more than that. So I'm giving a very simple example of what is available to every single one of us. I'm not asking you to build a Taj Mahal. I'm saying very clearly, think about that. The reason I gave you the example of the Taj Mahal and Harvard is so striking. When I was, one of my interests is history, and in history, one of the things I enjoy doing is to read comparative pieces in terms of time. I said, here is what was happening in India, what was happening in the other parts of the world at the same time. Because we're talking about contemporaries. So, in a contemporary manner, what decisions were taken and what was happening in different parts of the world. It's a very enlightening thing to open your eyes and, to think about that. Because, again, as I said, not for the sake of it. The only use of history is to learn lessons from it. And that's why we must read it, so we can learn the lessons and apply them in our lives. So, what are the choices that you and I have? And what choices are we making? We need to do that consciously. And in order to do that, we have to look at each choice and say, what is the price tag that is attached to this choice? Because if you look at the world and you ask people, let me give you a final example which I have given many times before, before I close. Supposing I tell you that today, after Salatul Jummah, I want to go and buy a car. Yeah, this is my intention. Today, I am going to buy a car. What will you ask me?
Which car?
So, supposing I tell you, what do you mean, which car? I am going to buy a car. Is there something called a car? Does it exist in the market? Is there something called a car? Does it exist in the market? Well, my submission to you is, it does not exist. There is no such thing as a car. There is a Mercedes and there is a BMW and there is a this and there is a that and there is a, a Tata Nano, which is a auto rickshaw, which is pretending to be a car. I mean, the point is that there is no such thing as a car. What is there are specific brands. And each brand has a price tag. Now, I walk into the Rolls-Royce showroom and I say, I want to buy this car. So, the Rolls-Royce guy looks at me and says, okay, how much money do you have? I say, I have 1 lakh, 100,000 rupees. So, he says, very nice, please come here. Sit down. He takes me to his desk, sits me down on a nice LCD screen. He says, here is the picture of the Rolls-Royce, and if you move the mouse, it will turn and you can see what it looks like from the front and the back and so on. You can go under it and over it and you can open the doors and so on and so forth. And when you are satisfied, play around with it. And when you are satisfied, please leave your 1 lakh of rupees on the table and go home. Because for 1 lakh of rupees, this is what you get. You get to say, take a nice look at the Rolls-Royce. So what are we saying here? I want a Rolls-Royce, yes, but I don't have the money to invest in a Rolls-Royce. For 1 lakh of rupees, you won't even get one wheel of the Rolls-Royce. So, if you go out in the world and ask people, do you want to be successful or you want to be a failure, what do you think they will say? Nobody will say, if somebody says, I want to be the greatest failure in the world, that's a success statement. He doesn't want to be an ordinary failure. He wants to be the greatest failure in the world, right? So, nobody wants to be a failure. Everybody wants to be successful, but is the world, just look around you. Are you surrounded by successful people? Some are successful, some are not. Most are not. Why? Not because they don't want to be successful, but because they don't make the investment. Why don't they make the investment? Because consciously they have not thought about their choices. Nobody consciously chooses to not make an investment. Believe me, everybody wants to be successful. But you do not look at your choices, you do not invest in those choices consciously. And then of course a time comes when all you can do is tell nice stories. Oh, you see, this is what I wanted to do and this is what I... Who cares? Who cares a damn about what you wanted to do? What did you actually do? Zilch. So, therefore, it's very important to think of the choices that you have. Consciously look at what does this choice mean, what investment does it need, and consciously make that investment. And then you will be successful. Both are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you make an investment, you get what you want. Find me one person in the whole world, one single person, in the history of Rolls Royce, from the day the factory was built, from the day the first car came out, till today. Find me one single person in the whole world who had the money, who wanted to buy it, but who could not buy it. Is there such a person? No. Absolutely not. The car is made to be sold. Do you think they build those cars to keep them and look at them? No. They are building them to sell them. So what do you need? You need the money. That's it. If you have the money, you can buy a Rolls Royce tomorrow. But find me also one person who did not have the money, but he still got the car, very unlikely. He could have got it because he married somebody who had a car or something. Other than how else will he get it? Or he goes, works for Rolls Royce, and then maybe, you know, once he becomes the chairman, maybe they allow him to drive the car. My point I'm making is that success and failure are no mysteries. It's both need for us to work for them. You work for success, you get success. You don't work for it, you fail. Choices, conscious choices that we need to make. Just like Shah Jahan had the opportunity to start a university, you and I have the opportunity to do something else. I don't know, I'm not saying university, but whatever it is. Are we making those choices? And the time to think about it is right now. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make the right choices and to reward us in keeping with His generosity and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.